Lord at Calvary. Amen. That's where our redemption was purchased and bought, and I am so thankful for that. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn them back to Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is our theme verse for the year. Verses 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And want you to be ever conscious this year of where your help truly comes from, and understanding and recognizing it comes from our Lord in heaven. Amen. But he does come down here to dwell amongst us by his Holy Spirit's power. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Psalm 121. Now, how many actually have committed this whole psalm to memory, but you just have not said it yet? Okay, how many did commit it to memory and you did say it? It's a bunch of them that did. Amen. Praise God. All right. How many are working on it still? Amen. All right. You got tonight and you got Wednesday. Amen. And we've got 6 gift cards left for some ice cream at Domino's. Dairy Queen. Got pizza on the brain. Amen. Pizza and ice cream. Amen. Domino's. Amen. All right. Psalm 121. Everybody there say amen. Amen. I'm thankful that the ladies had a safe trip up to the ladies' retreat and back, and I'm looking forward to hearing some of the testimonies. I hear it was about the aprons and householding and just being a woman of God, and what a blessing, and I'm looking forward to that tonight. Psalm 121, let's read it together, all the verses together. Here we go. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That is a blessed, blessed psalm, and I do trust that throughout this year, we'll take those things into consideration, that it is God who's going to protect us and watch over us through all of 2015 and until he takes us home. It is his job to watch over us. He loves doing it, amen. He just wants us to recognize that he's doing it, amen, and trust in him as our help. Amen. I gave you some introductory remarks last week about the Psalms, and the book of Psalms was the Hebrew hymn book. So, you know, we pick up the hymn book here and we sing out of it. But they had a Hebrew psalm book as well, and it was called the Psalms. Amen. And the book is a hymnal of the Bible. The word psalm comes from a Greek word that means a poem sung to musical accompaniment. Amen. How many of y'all hum songs, but you don't have any music to? I mean, you just make up a song in your heart, but you don't have music to it. Amen. Well, these were things that were pinned down, and then music was set to it. By the way, that's how songs normally start. Somebody writes something down, and they set it to music. Amen. The Psalms express man's praise to God for who he is and what he does. They also express man's need of God in times of trial and his confidence that God will help. You'll find in the Psalms a full range of human emotions, from ecstatic joy to despair and contrition. You'll also find a revelation of God that brings comfort and encouragement when you trust in him. Each of us can identify with the writers as they found God's grace sufficient in the experiences of life. No matter what your circumstances or feelings may be, there is a psalm that perfectly fits your situation. The beauty of this year is what I want you to do is find the psalm that soothes your soul. If it's a laughter psalm, you may need to find one of those. If it's a sorrowful psalm, you may need to find one of those. Maybe it's a repentant psalm, you need to find one of those. Maybe it's a rejoicing psalm, you need to find one of those. Whatever it is that you seem to find yourself in life, God has a psalm for you. And that's the beauty of it, amen. Now the goal is we've got to read through the psalms to get it. You got to read through them, amen. You're not going to get it just by saying, I wonder what psalm goes with this. You got to read them. And I'm sure God will bless you immensely this year. Let's look at this morning a little bit more about my help in the Lord. Father, thank you for being a gracious God. Lord, thank you that our help comes from you, which is our Lord. Lord, there's a psalm for everything. And I'm reminded that our help comes from you. Obviously, this psalmist is in distress. Obviously, this psalmist is going through a situation and a circumstance that seems to be surrounding him and seems to be insurmountable, but he is trusting in you to help him out. Lord, I don't know the situation in people's lives today. I don't know what they need help with. But Lord God, you know what help they need, and you know what help that needs to be provided. Lord, as we go through the sermon today, help us to see what help we actually need and what you want to do in our lives. Meet the need that is here at Shining Light today. Lord, may we with the psalmist say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Lord, may we sense your moving today. May we sense your presence today. Lord, as we, and many of us, have situations that we cannot control, nor can we get out of, Lord, may you guide us through it and be the rock of salvation that we need. Lord, may you be the comfort that we need. May you be the soothing that we need. May you be the remedy for what we need. Lord, in other words, whatever it is that we need today, may you be it, and may we seek our help in you. Guide now in the sermon, Lord. Corral my thoughts and make them of thee and how I can be a blessing through the word of God this morning. Lord, do what I can't do and minister to the hearts of your people through the word of God. Lord, help each person to see what they truly need. Lord, may they truly see that they can find it in you. Save that lost one today. Encourage that one that's down. Rejoice, Lord, with that one that's rejoicing. And when it's all said and done, Lord, may we say it's been good to be in thy house today where we can hear the word of God. Bless now in the song that will be sang. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson is going to sing.
Just how much
That's what we need to do, cry out to the Lord. Amen. He is our help. Amen. And when we get in those distressful situations, we see that he is the one that meets our need. Amen. All right. Am I on back there, Shane? I am on. Praise God. Amen. All right. Well, my help cometh from the Lord. We're looking at this psalm. I gave you the introduction last time. And Psalm 121, and really it is not known why the psalmist is looking to the hills. It is not known what distress the psalmist is in, but what is known is that he is in distress. What is known is that he is calling out to God, who is his help. And what is known is that he is lifting his eyes unto the hills. And all of us need help at some time or another. I don't think there would be one person in this room today that would say, I don't need God's help today. Amen. You'd be lying, because you need God's help to even breathe. Amen. You need God's help for your heart to beat. You need God's help to walk. Amen. Brother Duffy is in the hospital right now because he has issues with his legs. Amen. Bev is up in Alaska right now because she needs God's help to work in the situation of the custody battle. Amen. And so we all need God's help. Amen. And it's easy to go to man for help. Amen. But we all need God's help. Say, preacher, what kind of help might I need? Well, I don't know, but today you might need some personal help. You just got some personal things in your life that man just can't work out. I mean, you sought out man, you sought out help, and maybe you just need some personal help today. Now, some of you may need some occupational help. You just don't have a job right now. You're between jobs, or the odd man out, or maybe the job that you have is not paying the bills, and so you need some occupational help, amen? Maybe it's educational help. You got a test that you're going to take tomorrow, or you got a test you're going to take this week, and you say, look, you know, I just need educational help. By the way, cheating is not good. So that's not the kind of help you need, amen? Children are looking over their classes. I remember listening to the DVD that the kids used to watch for their homeschooling, and the teacher was constantly saying, keep your eyes on your own work. Keep your eyes on, honey, cover up your page. I guess because little Johnny was doing one of these numbers, amen, trying to see what was over there, amen? But when it comes to educational help, you need the Lord's help. Guess who created your mind? God did. God did. So you may need some educational help, some personal help, some occupational help, maybe some social help. Say, preacher, I just don't have any friends. Nobody understands me. Nobody knows me the way I need to be understood. At school, they don't understand me. At home, they don't understand me. At the job, they don't understand me. Wherever I go, people just don't understand me. Amen. There's some people like that. People just don't understand you. And you say, I need some social help. Or maybe today your problem is physical, and you've got some ailments in your body. I think all of us could raise our hand and have any age on ourselves. We have physical ailments, amen. And we would say, I need physical help today. What I'm ailed with right now, doctors can't seem to fix. Doctors can't seem to prescribe that which I need. Doctors have no clue what I'm going through. I need some physical help today. I'm tired of being a chair bound or bed bound or cold bound or aching bound or whatever kind of bound there is, or whatever it is that has my body. I just need some physical help from God. Hey, I don't know about you, but I ache sometimes if I sit down too long. And when I get up, it's kind of like slow motion. Man, back in the days, I could just pop back up in my chair and just walk on out there, amen. G2 wanted to play some football the other day. I went out there and threw the ball, and I started running for a touchdown. I got winded after the first 5 yards. And I walk every day. I thought, glory. I said, walking is not the same thing as sprinting, especially when you're trying to show your 10-year-old son you still got it. Amen. Yes,
and you ain't going to catch me. I juked them in my shoes, amen, and make them slide over that way. But when I took off this way, amen, they're like that, you're not fair, amen. You playing the old man trick, that's right, amen. Hey, physical help. Could be some financial help you need today. You just need some money, amen. And God, by the way, God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, amen. God knows where the money is at. He found it to get this building, amen. So we know you may need some financial help. Maybe some emotional help today. Maybe your emotion has just gone crazy lately, amen. Ladies have the time where their emotions kind of get out of whack once a month. Then you get to the change of life, and then it's really out of whack, amen. And you don't, you just don't, you can't figure it out. You say, I can't figure this out. You look to your husband, he can't figure it out. You go to your doctor, he can't figure it out, amen. And so he puts you on some medicines. You say, look, I'm tired of medicine. I just need emotional help. And God's able. God's able. My help. My help. So whether it's personal help or educational help, social help, physical help, financial help, emotional help, we need help. Some of us today here need parental help. Lord, these kids you gave me. Lord, I don't know what they're thinking. And by the way, kids are being raised on computers now. So if you don't know computers, your kid has left you in the dust. They're being raised on cell phones. If you don't know cell phones, they have left you in the dust. They don't have textbook nowadays. Everything is on the computer. If you don't know computers, they have left you in the dust. And if you don't know what they're looking at, they have left you in the dust. Amen. And so you may say, I need some parental help today. And by the way, the psalmist said, my help cometh from the Lord. I don't care what kind of help it is. It's going to come from the Lord. Hey, he made the children. He made our emotions. He made our person. He made us. Maybe you're here today and you say, I need marital help. I need some marital help. I'm not the husband I need to be. I'm not the wife I need to be. I'm not the spouse that I need to be. I'm not the spouse that I used to be. And you may not be. But guess what? My help comes from the Lord. Maybe here today you say, well, I don't have a spouse. I need a spouse. Maybe you need God's help to find that spouse. By the way, if you go look for that spouse on your own, you're liable to get the wrong thing. Remember, Rachel may look good, but Leah is good. If y'all wasn't here on what day was that? Monday. If you wasn't here on Monday night, get the tape. You know what I'm talking about, amen? Rachel may look good, but Leah is good. Rachel was Jacob's choice. Leah was God's choice. And so you may need some personal help there in finding the mate. It could be psychological help or physiological help. Whatever type of help it is, the psalmist sums it all up. And he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And let me submit to you, my help comes from the Lord. Where does your help come from? Because it's easy to look to man for help. Why? Man's right here. We can see man. I can just go down to the bank. I can just put in an application. Hey, I can just go on eSpouse, or what is that thing called? The dating service. eHarmony, eSpouse. Well, same thing, amen. eSpouse, eHarmony, same thing, amen. Hey, I don't need to go to God and get my help. I can go to eHarmony. I can go over here to eJob, and I can go over here to eDoctor, and I can go over here to eEducation. I can go over here and Google my answers. Hey, how about just going to the Lord? Why go to all the other things when God's easy to go to? God's right there to go to. God's ever present to go to. He has the answers. eHarmony might give you a lemon. And by the way, you can't sue him when you get a lemon. I asked for a husband, you gave me a dud. I asked for a wife, you gave me a dud. I'm suing. What you going to sue for? Well, they lied. And your point is, didn't you sign the disclaimer? Amen. They're not responsible for the spouse that you get. Well, he's a mass murderer. He's a pedophile. He's a sex offender. Nobody told me that. Did you ask God about it? Amen. I'm just saying. The help is there. The help is available. But we want to circumvent God and go around God to get man's help. And man's help all the time is not good help. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. Depends on what type of help it is. But the psalmist lets you know, my help cometh from the Lord. We began looking at this last time. We looked at the description of our help, the description of our help. And first of all, we saw this in verse number 1 and 2. It's a direct help from above. Amen. By the way, He says, I will lift up mine eyes. Sometimes we can be pessimists, can't we? I mean, think about it. When you get down, you don't look up when you're down. When you get down, you look where? You look down. The head goes down real quick and you start looking down. And sometimes we can be pessimists and we can say, well, nobody understands my situation. Nobody can get me out of this. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody understands me. Hey, look, I'm in a bad situation. And we can be pessimists thinking it's all over. And sometimes we need somebody to tell us to lift our eyes. Sometimes we need a brother or sister to say, brother, it's not that bad. Sister, it's not that bad. Hey, have you looked up lately? Hey, I know your situation is bleak. I know it seems bad, but don't look around. Don't look down. Hey, don't look to man. Hey, why don't you lift your eyes up? And sometimes we need people to be on our side to tell us, lift up your eyes. Look up. God's got the answer. Don't be perplexed. Don't be discouraged. Don't get down. God's got the answer. There was a man that had to have that happen to him. Go into your Bibles to 2 Kings. I want to show you this. Because sometimes we have to be told to lift our eyes up. And 2 Kings, I want you to go to chapter 6. This is Elisha and not Elijah. Elisha was the successor to Elijah after he got raptured up. And in this particular occasion here, the armies of Syria are after the kings of Israel. And pick it up with me in verse number 8. The Bible says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 8. Because what I'm talking about is here, the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes. And sometimes we are such pessimists, we need others to help us to look up. Then the king of Syria, verse 8, warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware, that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. So in other words, the king of Syria had his plans. The man of God said, hey, king, watch out. He's going to try to get you. And notice what it says in verse number 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So get the picture here. Every time he goes to get the king of Israel, he's gone and he's moved away. And he knows that he was there because he had intelligence tell him that. And so he calls his servants together and he says, hey, which one of you guys is for the enemy? Which one of you guys is telling him what's going on that I'm coming to get him? Which one of you guys is not for us, it's for them? Which one? Notice the answer. And one of his servants, verse 12, said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. How'd you like to have that? What you're speaking in your bedroom, somebody else knows. Amen. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. So the man of God is surrounded now. Get the picture. They're all about. The king of Syria has got the man of God surrounded. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, the servant goes outside in the morning. He sees all the chariots, all the horses, all the men out there. And he comes back to Elisha. He says, alas, master, what are we going to do? They got us surrounded. The enemy is here. They're caging in. It's just you and I. Yep, Pastor. You and God's majority. Did you know that? Amen. It's just you and I. And they're all around us. Alas, master, how should we do? He's a pessimist. He's not looking up. He's looking down. But you know what? I give him credit. He knew where to go. He went to the man of God. He said, what are we going to do? Hey, when you get perplexed, go to the man of God. Can you give me some scripture? Can you give me a reference? Can you give me some help? Can you give me a prayer? How shall I do, preacher? Oftentimes we want to devise our own methods. Well, preacher's too busy. Preacher ain't that busy to give you some instruction. Well, I ain't want to bother pastor because, you know, Brother Egg White over here says he knows what's going on. And he can spell God, too. Well, verse 16, and he answered, fear not. The man of God says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than that be with them. The man of God said, hey, there's more with us than there is with them. Can't you just see the servant now looking at Syrians? Man of God, what kind of math you got? It's me and you. And they're all around us. Man of God, what kind of math you got? Isn't that the way we get sometimes? When somebody's got some faith and they say, it can work, it can happen like this, and God can do this. And they look at it, what you talking about? It can't work like that because it's like this. 2 + 2 = 4. 1 + 1 = 2. Hey, when God's in it, the number is infinity. It matters not. And sometimes we become pessimists and our help still comes from the Lord. And somebody's got to step in like the man of God here and say, hey, look up. It's more for us than for them. Notice what he says. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Hey, what did the psalmist say? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The servant looked up. He saw, hey, look, we may be surrounded, but God's got them surrounded. How you like that? They may be trying to surround us, but God's got them encircled and they ain't getting away. Open up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Hey, friend, I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you're going through. Maybe it's personal. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's occupational. Maybe it's parental. Maybe it's marital. Whatever it is, God's got the answer. Sometimes we become pessimists and we, well, God, you just don't know. Yes, I do know, he says. Open his eyes. That he can see. And I like God's turn of events. He opened up the man's eyes and he saw, but he closed their eyes. Notice 18. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed and the Lord prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. So they're hunting after Israel or Samaria, and guess what? He took them straight back to who they was hunting. How you like that for God? Don't you know that God can turn the events just like that? I mean, just like that. Here they go. They're coming after the man of God. They surround him, and with the prayer, they are on the losing side now. Amen. Go back to Psalm 121. What am I saying? Sometimes it's a direct help from above, but sometimes we need to lift up our eyes, and sometimes we need somebody else to help us to see what God is doing in our life and what God is trying to do. Amen. Not only is it a direct help from above, he said, I will lift up mine eyes, but it's a dynamic help from above. It's a dynamic help from above. Notice these words. He says, my help cometh from the Lord. What I want to do is look at these words very, very quickly here and just tell you a little bit about each one of the words that the psalmist used down there in verse number 2. He says, my help cometh from the Lord. What am I saying? It's a dynamic help from above. First of all, notice this. He's a personal help. He says, my. That indicates it's a personal possession. When you get in trouble, is he just the God or is he my God? Hey, I don't know about you. When I call on God, I'm not saying, oh, God of Pastor White. Oh, God of Brother Farnham. Oh, God of Shirley Kite. I'm saying, my God. My God, I need your help. Oh, God, I need your help. God, you're my God. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my Master. I need you in my life for my situation. I know that people got other situations going on, but it's up to them to call on you. I need you for my life. Ms. Dawson sang the song, I need you in my life, Jesus. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. It's a personal help. He's a personal help, my, indicating a personal possession. And he's my help. Not only is my, he says help. He's a potential help that indicates possibility of assistance, which means God can come. Normally when you call 911, they'll say, help is on the way. What does that mean? It's a possibility. Assistance is coming. It's coming. It's on the way. Hey, we pray to God. He may not give you immediate answers, but he always hears, and he always answers with yes, no, or wait. Our problem is we don't want to wait, so we go to eHarmony and eAnswer and eEverything else and eThis and eThat. I told you guys early on, normally when something happens before we go to the Bible, we go to an app first. What's wrong with going to the Bible? What are you going to do when your app breaks? What are you going to do when you drop your phone in the water like I did? I was out of phone for 24 hours, and I was happy. It didn't ring, it didn't text, it didn't buzz, it didn't beep, it didn't bop, it didn't do anything. I thought, yes, I like you like that. Then I put the battery back in and start working again. And then I heard, ding, ding. I thought it wasn't going to never stop. Ting, 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 ting. In 24 hours, I had all these messages that had come in. I thought I was off the hook. I started to delete them all. I thought, my soul, do I get this many text messages in one day? Sir, that's why I don't like texting. Amen. I thought, man, here it is. My help. It's a potential help. Help is on the way. But only he is he a personal help, and he's a potential help, but he's a perpetual help. Notice that third word, cometh. Many folks don't like the King James with the these and the thous and the. You always got a the in there. But that TH is a continual action verb rendering. It means that not only is my help going to come from the Lord yesterday and today, but it's going to come tomorrow, and it's going to continue to come. So my help cometh. Whenever I need help, it's going to come from the Lord. I don't care if it was yesterday. I don't care if it's tomorrow. I don't care if it's today. It's going to keep coming from the Lord. By the way, every time you call for help, guess what? He's going to be there. The problem is we don't always call. Amen. I was just talking to my mom the other day. And I said, Mom, I said, it's our 31st wedding anniversary. And I said, I know you were so glad when I got married, but I know you was worried. I said, but at least you had one less child that called you for financial help. And she said, well, yeah, that's right, boy. You know, you didn't call and ask me for no money. I said, but I asked for some for the marriage, though. And you helped me for the marriage. You know what? If I called my mother today, she would help me. If I called my daddy today, if it was within his means, he would help me. Why? When it comes to parents, my help comes from my parents. That's what parents do when they can do it. When it comes to God, God says, hey, it's going to continue to come from me. I'm your Savior. I'll give you. I'll help you. I'll be there for you. Hey, it's potential help. Hey, perpetual help. It's always there. Hebrews 13:6, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. By the way, there will always be a tomorrow in eternity. So if you don't get his help now, guess what? You're not going to like eternity a whole lot. By the way, it is God who helps you get into eternity. Now, contrary to popular belief, you're going to go into eternity one way or the other. You're going to go into eternal life or eternal death. Preacher, how can I have eternal death? I don't know. You got to take that with God. But I know you have a soul which comprises your mind, emotions, and your will. And that lives on after you die. And God's going to give you a spiritual body, much like Satan has, who's going to be in the lake of fire. And with that spiritual body, guess what? It's going to be in torments for the rest of eternity for everybody that's not saved. So your help needs to come from the Lord now. Your salvation needs to come from the Lord now. Can you imagine eternal death? Eternal fire? I mean, I can't fathom that. But guess what? The Lord's a potential help. Not only is he a personal help, a potential help, a perpetual help cometh, but he's a potent help from the Lord. From the Lord. Lord here is Jehovah, or the existing one who needs no support. By the way, this is not just anybody. This is the body. This is the body that you need. Amen. This is the body who hung up on the cross. This was the body who got a body, who came as a baby, who went up on the cross, whose body was put in a tomb, whose body was rose again, whose body has been resurrected, whose body is coming again, whose presence will judge the nations, whose body is going to be forevermore scarred with the nails in his hands and his feet. To remind us that he's not just somebody, he is the body. And he's the body that you need. You need his body broken. You need his body bleeding. You need it battered. You need it bruised. You need it broken. But you also need it buried. And you need it risen again. Coming back again. You need him. You need him. My help cometh from the Lord. He's a personal help, a potential help, a perpetual help, a potent help from the Lord. Psalm 124 and verse 8, if you're there, look over at it. It says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Jehovah God, the self-existing one who needs no support. Amen. Although our help is a direct help from above and a dynamic help from above, God can also use indirect help from below. Amen. Did you know God sometimes uses people? Y'all don't look at me pious. You got an employer, don't you? He pays your check, doesn't he? God uses people. Y'all go to Fry's and Lucky's and all the rest of these stores, don't you? And Kroger's. God uses people. Is Lucky's still a store that's closed down? Not anymore. Closed down. They guess they wasn't so lucky then. Amen. Guess they wasn't lucky. Amen. See, no luck with God. Change that name. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? God, unless you're going to go out and grow your own food and raise your own cattle and your own swine, pigs, for those that don't know swine is, and your own chickens. By the way, my neighbor's got chickens. I hear them all the time. My grandmother used to have them, so I know what they sound like. Unless you're going to go raise your own food, you need indirect help from below. You need man. But guess what? That's not where my help comes from. Directly. Indirectly, yes, but not directly. An indirect help from below. God can use people. You may hold your hands up above to God for a blessing, but God may fill it from man below. Luke 6:38 still says, give, and it shall be given unto you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall who? Men given to your bosom. What am I saying? Indirect help from below. Sometimes God does use men. Hey, when it came to the servant over there, what did Elijah say? Elijah was a man. He was a man. And God used that indirect help to get him to open up his eyes, lift up his eyes, and see God's help from above. What am I saying? People like doctors can be used. Firemen can be used. Policemen can be used. When you need them the most, that's when God has them there. Amen. And just because they are not Christian folk doesn't mean God can't use them. And, Serge, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I just thought heathens were just heathens. If you're not saved, you had no part in my life. So it's just me and my Christian folk over here, the rest of y'all over there. And that means I had to quit my job. That means I got no police protection. That means I got no fire protection. That means I've got no judge when I go to court. That means I've got nothing because I've alienated myself from all of the world and all of society. Hey, friend, God can still use unsaved people. Yes, sir, and by the way, last you checked, he can still use them for good. Did not he use Cyrus to help Israel? Yeah. Did not he use King Ahasuerus to help Israel? Yes, he did. Hey, did not God still use the spoil from Egypt to build the tabernacle? So God can still use unsaved people. So look at unsaved people and say, you're just unsaved. Oh. Unclean. Say that when you get your paycheck. Unclean money. Take your money back. You see, you won't do that, do we? You won't take them groceries back to Fry's. Unclean groceries. Oh, you're unsaved. You touch my groceries. I'll have none of that. Bag them yourself and grow them yourself. What am I saying? God can use indirect help from below, and don't you mock at who God uses to help you out. I use Shirley for an example. Shirley broke down. Bruce came by to help her out. She could have said, are you a Christian? Let me see your ID. Are you a Baptist? What church you go to? What kind of Baptist are you anyway? You know why she didn't say that? Because she needed help. And I don't care who the help comes from. I need help. And because God used indirect help from above through him, she in turn helped him with the gospel. And he got saved. And as a result of him getting saved, Nia got saved. And Dominic got saved. Nia just came to me last week. Pastor, I want to get baptized. I want to get baptized. I got a verse. I said, bless your little heart. Hey, how'd that all happen? An indirect help from above. I'm going to send you somebody, and he's going to help you, and I want you to help him. Amen. God can use anybody who he chooses. Hey, if he can use a chicken to croak, croak. Frogs croak. So what do chickens do? Rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo, whatever they do. He can use a chicken. He can use a donkey to talk. Amen. God used a fish. He had a coin in his mouth to pay taxes. God is not limited to who he can use. We look at some people sometimes. How are you going to help me? You can't help me. Don't you balk at God's help? How many of y'all ladies went to the ladies' retreat? How many of y'all asked them up there if they were saved? Well, if you're not saved, I'm not taking no heathen room. I'm not eating this heathen food that y'all prepared. Hey, waiter, are you saved? I'm not eating this food because you tested. You're a heathen. Oh, boy. Unclean, unclean. Away from you. You didn't say that when the maids come to make up your bed. That's right, call her unclean then. That's right, you don't have no coffee in your room. You'd be calling down the room service real quick. And you ain't asking, are they saved at all? At least I know I don't. Can y'all send up some coffee? Y'all didn't bring me my coffee. What's up with that? Decaf is not coffee in my book. Amen. You left me four packs of decaf. Somebody can't see. What am I saying here? God can use an indirect help from below, even though he's a direct help from above and he's a dynamic help from above. He can use indirect help from below. And just because they aren't Christians doesn't mean God can't use them. So our help can be indirect help from below. However, it's orchestrated and directed from our dynamic God who's above. He's a sovereign God. If you heard the tape, the message last week about the sovereign will of God, God can do what he's going to do, and he does it very well. Notice, second of all, down here in verse number 2, the depth of our help. Not just the description of our help, but the depth of our help. The Bible says this, which made heaven and earth. Now stop. How many of y'all have gone to the planetarium? And normally, when you're in school, they send you to the planetarium. I sit back in amazement. Faith, just the other night, said, Daddy, I'm going to count the stars. I said, we're going to be up all night, baby. She said, well, I counted 100 already. I said, we're going to be up all night, baby. You think about it. The Lord which made heaven and earth. I mean, he made the cosmos. And he just made it by speaking. Let there be, and there was. Let there be light, and there was light. Let the earth bring forth this. Let the waters separate and divide. Let the firmaments be divided. All he said was, let it be. Let it bring forth the fowls in the earth, and let it be this and this. And then he took the dust and breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. He said, let us make man in our image, not like the animals. Aren't you glad that God made us in his image? Amen. Hey, he didn't make us a step above the animals. He made us a step below the angels. Hallelujah. That's good, folks. I don't know if you get excited about that, but I do. And this evolutionistic society and this humanistic society, we've been deflated to mere beasts that have some intelligence. My Bible doesn't say anything about us being beasts with intelligence. Just a little bit above the animal kingdom. Just a little bit above the apes. My Bible says, you made them a little bit lower than the angels. Amen. No beast at all. We're creating the image of God. I'm talking about, that's a great God. The Lord who made heaven and earth. Hey, when he made it all at the end of chapter number 1 of Genesis, he said, and everything he made was very good. We're talking about the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hey, this is not just somebody the psalmist is talking about. This is Jehovah God. This is the creator. This is the self-existent one. And the psalmist says, hey, I'm going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. He made heaven and earth. If he made heaven and earth, he cares about that. He sure cares about me. If he made us a little bit lower than the angels and he cares about the angels, guess what? He cares for you. And he cares what you're going through. Sometimes we can look back into the universe and get so consumed to say, God, with all the billions of stars and planets and you're taking care of that, how can you be caring about me? But he says, if he understands the sparrow, aren't you more precious than the sparrow? Aren't you more precious? He said, I numbered the hairs on your head. And for y'all that don't have much hair, the hair follicles. I saw gray the other day. G2 said, get that off your face, Daddy. And it wouldn't come off. I said, son, that's called a piece of gray beard. And G2 says to my dad, you need to pluck that out or something. Get that off. That don't look good on you. I said, I'm trying to be like Mr. Suffrage. He said, he ain't going to make it. Ain't going to make it. Amen. There's only one Mr. Surge. Amen. The depth of our help. Our help comes from God who made heaven and earth and everything else, which means we have an omnipotent help. God is a making God. He made heaven and he made earth, and so he cares about you. And if God can make heaven and earth, I believe he can make everything else all right in our lives. And so that's why the psalmist says, I'm going to look unto the Lord. He's coming. He's my help. My help's going to come from him. He made heaven and earth. He can take care of me. Notice what it says down there, the rest of that verse, number 2. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He said down there, he would not suffer thy foot to be moved. What am I talking about here? A God is a moving God. A God can move things or he can prevent movement from happening. Amen. And that this is not to say that trials won't come into your life, because trials will come into your life. What it means is that when the trials come, the trials won't move you from your faith. Your faith will still stand. Your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tried. It will be going through the fires, and I am not going to suffer you to be moved, he says. You keep your trust in God. You keep your trust in Jehovah. He is my help. He's not going to suffer your foot to be moved. Trials will come, but that's how we grow. The psalmist is stating that we're anchored in the Lord. Since he is not moving, neither will we. By the way, we have to be conscious of the fact that on our own, not just our footing can be removed, but our whole bodies can be taken away. Remember the sermon last year? Will ye also go away? Not just your feet. Your feet control where you go. Your whole body can be taken away. He says, he's not going to suffer your foot to be moved if you're trusting in him. He's my help. He's my confidence. He's my comfort. He's my commitment. I'm going to commit it to him. We will not be moved from our steadfast trust in him if we're anchored in him. Did the psalmist have trials? Yes, he did. If the psalmist didn't have trials, then why did he say in Psalm 16:18, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. If the psalmist didn't have trials, then why would he say in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. If the psalmist didn't have problems and trials and tribulations, in Psalm 62:6, why would he say, he only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defense, I shall not be moved. The psalmist didn't have trials and tribulations and tough times, in Psalm 66:9, why would he say, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved? Yes, the psalmist had trials, but with his trials he had trust. So he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help coming from the Lord. Yes, I may be in distress. Yes, this may be tough. Yes, this may be going on. But hey, the Lord which made heaven and earth, he will not suffer my foot to be moved. The Lord is going to keep me where I need to be. And we're going to end with that today and pick it up a little bit more next week. But I'm here to tell you that if you don't know about this personal help that God has, you're missing out. You don't know about this potential help that God has to help his own, you're missing out. You don't know about this perpetual help to help you yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You're missing out. You don't know about this potent help, Jehovah God, the Lord, who needs no sustaining. You're missing out. You don't understand about the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You're missing out. The psalmist says, you know what? I'm in distress. I'm going through a tough time. Be it personal, be it educational or occupational, be it physical or marital or parental, whatever help it was he was going through, he said, look, I know where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord. But not just any Lord. The Lord's made heaven and earth. You know, there's only one person that can take that credit. You read your history books. The gods don't claim to have created the existence. You read the Greek gods, they may have done a whole lot of things. They have a whole lot of gods for a whole lot of things. But God is the God. And his son is the body that matters. Why? Because his son best represents you and me. He came down in the flesh, veiled himself, 100% God, 100% man, grew up in that body, and went to the cruel cross. The Bible says he went about doing good. And friend, if you hear it, you say, well, I'm doing good. I'm doing the best I can. Let me correct you on something. With every good that you do, you could always do better. So if we come to God and say, God, I'm doing the best I can, that's a lie. You can always do better. My sister was a Muslim. Oh, she was a Muslim. She came to me with that thought. Well, if I do these things, then I can gain entrance into paradise. I said, but when is enough to get you to paradise? I said, what if your whole life goes by and you do all these things that you think God wants you to do just to get to heaven, to stand before his great white throne, and he says, you did 99 things, I wanted you to do 100. What if you get there and he says, I wanted you to do 105 things, but you only did 104. Well, you did 1,001, but I wanted you to do 1,002. My Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's not what we can do. It's what God has already done. It is finished. That's the God that we're talking about here. My help. If you've trusted him with your soul, and you've trusted him with your life, trust him with your circumstances. The psalmist said, I've trusted him. I've tested him. I've tried him. He's not going to let my foot be moved. I'm going to hold out. I'm going to hold out. He's going to tell us a little bit more about his God and what his God's going to do for him. But friend, let me stop there and tell you this. He'll do the same thing for you. He'll do the same thing for you. This psalmist doesn't have monopoly on God. He didn't have monopoly on he who which made heaven and earth. He says, the Lord is my helper. My help. But guess what? Your help comes from the Lord too. God cares just as much for you as he does for the psalmist. Hey, friend. God cares just as much for you as he cared for King David. God cares just as much for you as he cared for Noah, Elijah, Abraham, Esther, on down the line, Ruth. God cares just as much for you as he cared for the Apostle Paul. God cares just as much for you as he did for any other saint of God. Why? For God so loved the world. Nobody's got a market on God's love today. And nobody's got a market on God's potential help today. Just because he helps the one next to you doesn't mean he's not going to help you. We pick and choose like that. But not God. God says, if you call, I will help. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. What am I saying here today? I don't know what your situation is, but I know where your help comes from. I know where my help comes from. Would you call on him today for help? Maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. You never got to the point where you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you believe in him factually and intellectually, maybe even temporarily for a thing, but once that thing passed, that trust went away. You believe in him, but now believe on him. Put your whole confidence and trust in him and on him and rest solely on him, repenting of your sins and turning to Jesus Christ. And friend, maybe today that's the help you need. Would you let him help you today? Hey, by the way, God's got heaven and he can let you in. But only you keep yourself out by pride and by not humbling yourself to say, Lord, I need entrance. By saying, Lord, I know my help comes from you, but I think I'll get it some other way. There is no other way. Carmen said it best. The way, the truth, and the life. What's your situation today? Would you take it to the Lord today? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Maybe today you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe just to give the Lord your personal life and get saved. Or maybe your educational or your social life, some things are going awry. Maybe your emotional life, your financial life. Or maybe your physical life, your parental life, or marital life. Some things are going awry. Your occupational life, your psychological life, or your physiological life. Some things are just not going right. Why don't you slip out from your seat and come down to an old-fashioned altar and get things settled? With every head bowed and every eye closed and looking around, how many of you would say, preacher, I'm not born again. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned. Would you please pray for me that I can make sure that heaven is my home? Would you pray that prayer, preacher, for me? You raise your hand. I can't save you, nor can I say a prayer that can save you. But I can sure pray that God would convict your heart, that you would surrender to him and get saved today. Say, preacher, what happens if I don't get saved? At the end of this life is a place called hell. For all the unredeemed, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And that's the death in hell. Preacher, pray for me today. I'm not sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone at all. How about this, preacher? I need God's help in my life today. There's some things going on that only God can help me with. Preacher, would you pray for me? I need God's help. You'd raise that hand. Saying, preacher, pray for me. I need God's help. I believe if we're honest, all of our hands really should go up. If we're honest. Some are just more desperate than others. Amen. I see your hands. You may put them down. Father, you see the hands of desperation. Some may be desperate. They've tried every other type of help, but now they want to try you. And Lord, don't disappoint, but deliver the help that you deem appropriate for your will to be done in their life. Lord, once again, there are others that see they need your help. They may not be as desperate as the others, but they know they need your help. God, would you reveal yourself to them that you alone can provide the help that they need? They must submit to your will and your way. And God, I pray that you would minister to that heart of the one that's seeking today, and they're not really sure if they need your help or not. Lord, press it upon their heart that they do. Their heart beats because of you. They breathe because of you. They have blood in their veins because of you. They have eyes because of you. Lord, they also have a soul because of you. They also have a free will because of you. You're not going to violate that will. Lord, press upon the spirit of that person. They need to be born again today. They need to be saved. They're in danger of a place called hell. They must be saved today. And save that man, that woman, that boy or girl. Minister to that heart that's hungering, that's longing for Jesus. And Lord, may we all say it's been my help that's coming from the Lord. Minister now in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Everyone, let's stand. As Brad begins to sing, God spoke in your heart, you move. Don't wait for somebody else. He's your help. He's your God. My help cometh from the Lord. Would you come to him who is your help?
To Jesus,
Lord, I need your help today.
I surrender.
I've got some situations in my life that require divine help. Require divine intervention. God, only you can work in my life.
And trust him in
God, only you can work in my heart.
Daily
personal, educational, social, emotional, financial, physical, parental, marital, occupational. Whatever it is, God's able.
The
psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. That he can see. There's more for us than for them.
Humbly at his feet.
Now, I don't know where you're at today, but the odds are not against you when it comes to divine power.
Take me, Jesus.
What odds that are in man's sight? God tips the scales. God is able to do exceedingly. exceedingly abundantly above everything that we ever ask or think. Where are you at today? He's a personal help. He's a potential help. He's a perpetual help and a potent help. Direct help from above. I will lift up mine eyes. Dynamic help from above. My help cometh from the Lord.
Make me say,
he's also an indirect help from below. He can use men. He's a sovereign God, the omnipotent God. We will not suffer thy foot to be moved. We've got to be anchored in God, who is unmovable, who's unchanging, who's immutable. Anchored in his care. The psalmist said, I shall not be moved. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He suffered not our feet to be moved. Father, thank you for being the God who is our God. Lord, there are gods of many. Lord, I'm so thankful that we serve the true God, the God of heaven and earth, the God who's revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, the God who has his person revealed in the Holy Spirit of God to convict us and convince us that we need to be converted and saved. But I'm so thankful that we have the risen God who came down in flesh to be beaten and battered and crucified and buried, but then risen again. But I'm so glad that that's our help that we have. Lord, you understand our frame. You understand that we're but dust. You create us a little lower than the angels. And Lord, you understand us. And as a result, we have an omnipotent God and an omnipresent God. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us today. And Lord, many are the needs in this room. Some came to an old-fashioned altar. Some did not. But Lord, you know the cry and the plea of each heart that's here today. And I pray that you would minister to the need of every man, woman, boy, or girl, whether they see their need or not. Help them to recognize and realize through the Spirit's power and the Word of God, they need your help, and only you can provide that help which cometh from yourself. Lord, help us to cease with ourselves and to go to your Savior.